Somebody said, when are you going to burst another myth? I'm thinking about bursting a couple of myths next Sunday, okay? Amen. But so we've got a few threads going in the messages, but today it's going to be a little bit different because we're calling it a pastoral message, but I'm not going to do all the preaching. Who's ever seen wrestling on TV? You know how when you're getting hurled down, you can bang the floor with it and the next guy comes in, you tag them? Well, today I'm preaching with Fritz. Come on, come on. No, oh, that hurt. Oh, thanks, Fritz. And I'm preaching with fire. Oh, that's better. Yeah. And so I'm going to start off. I'm the bookends. And here we go. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be good ground for your word today. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this word will sink deep and it'll produce life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. So I'm going to kick it off, and here we go. And who's glad to have, you know, other people preaching just instead of having to listen to me? Put your hand up. Michelle. It's a tough life. Every group of people, from a family through to a large corporation, through to even a whole country like Australia, every group of people has this thing that is called culture. Can we say that together? Culture. For example, a family is a group of people. Every family has a culture. Some families eat their meals while they sit in front of the television, while some families eat their meals around the dinner table. Some business organizations allow their office workers to dress casually, while other organizations demand people wear a company uniform. I remember when I used to work for Ampol in the city, our boss always demanded that we wore a tie to work. That seems so old-fashioned these days, doesn't it? But that's how it was. And these differences between families and organizations, and even between countries, these differences are cultural differences. We all know that. Culture is the ideas, customs, and social behavior of a particular group, no matter how big or small it is, or a society. And culture affects the way you view life, and sometimes you're not even aware that it's happening to you. Culture affects the way you view life, and it actually also affects your priorities in life. And culture exists wherever people exist. You can't escape culture. As soon as you put people together, you've got a culture. It's inescapable. This week we had some Wototo children, and they were an absolute pleasure. We had three Wototo children and the adult who was looking after them, four of them, in our home this week. And they're trying to adjust to Australian culture. On their final morning with us, their eyes lit up when Rochelle gave them corn on the cob for breakfast. See, they don't call it corn on the cob. We tried to teach them that, and we said that's how you do it properly. They call it maize. And I didn't know what they were talking about. And they were not interested in my muesli or toast, which I just found that fascinating. But really, why not? Because it's a cultural difference. You could say that culture is also the vibe or feel of a group of people. It's all about the vibe. Different groups and families have different vibes from each other. And you know, you can actually feel the vibe. It's an intangible feeling sometimes when you're actually with that group. They feel different, they smell different, they behave different. You kind of sense their culture. And you also sense that some cultures are healthy. And also, you also sense sometimes when you're with a group of people that their culture is actually toxic. Who knows what I'm talking about? Some families have a healthy culture or vibe of love, respect, and concern. And you can feel it and you see it when you visit with them. While some families have a toxic culture or vibe. Some families have a vibe of distrust, of hurt and anger. And you feel it when you go inside their homes, don't you? I've been in homes and you just know somebody's had a tiff. And they're all smile. You can sense the tension in the air. You feel the vibe. You feel the vibe. You feel the culture. Churches have their own cultures and vibes too, because it's groupings of people. And the vibe of one church will be different to the vibe or culture of another church. Two churches love Jesus, different cultures. It doesn't mean either are bad. It just means they just feel different. But some churches have a very healthy culture. And sometimes, sadly, some churches can have a toxic culture. Perhaps some of you experienced that. Obviously, we have our own culture and vibe here at Real Life Church. It's inescapable. We have our customs here at Real Life Church. We have our behaviors here at Real Life Church, just the same as any other group. It's funny because as a Pentecostal group, we try not to be traditional, but the truth is everybody's got their traditions, whoever you are. It's inescapable. And food is part of our culture. Amen. Praise God. I just want to make a comment about that. Aren't you glad? That's a feature of our culture here at Real Life Church. Amen. And of course, when I say Real Life Church, I'm talking about us all together. We're a community of believers. We are the church. And I've pondered upon our vibe and the feel of our community. I do this a lot. What does our church feel like? Is our culture at Real Life Church? This is rhetorical questions. Please don't shout out. But is it wholesome? Is it healthy? Can we improve upon our church culture? You know, I wonder what new people feel when they mix with us. Just while I've been preaching, actually, a couple of new people have just gotten up and walked out. Obviously, they didn't like my preaching. Amen, amen. Yeah, come back later, whatever. Do people feel welcome? Do they feel peace? When people come to our church, do they feel that we are passionate for Jesus? Do people feel that there is a sense of authenticity in our worship? Do they sense our genuine gratitude for Almighty God, for what He's done for us? And I certainly hope people feel that when they come into Real Life Church. But the good news is this, is that we can have influence over our own culture and vibe. We can choose the culture we want, actually in our families, in our lives, in our church. We could choose our vibe. And our vibe, our feel of Real Life Church is so important, everybody. It is really, really important, because people might not realize this, but it's your vibe speaks what is truly in our hearts more than what we say with our mouths. Your actions really speak about what truly is in your heart more than what you say with your mouth. Therefore, in view of this, I'm asking you, as you belong to Real Life Church, for us all to be mindful of the feel of the place, the feel of the house, the vibe of the house that we have in our faith community. And let us all take ownership of this. Amen? And I ask that we all consider being intentional about doing what we can to help make the culture and vibe of our church wholesome and healthy. Now, you all know that over the last few months, I've introduced the buzzword big to us all. And we've been kicking that word around a little bit. And we know that God is big. And we also know that God is doing a big work in our lives, in our heart. But we've also introduced this buzzword big so it can also be a reminder about our culture and our vibe that we desire here at Real Life Church. So the word big, B-I-G, is an acronym for three verbs that will help create a healthy and wholesome culture for our church. Those verbs are believe, increase, and give. A verb we remember from school, you know, the last century, amen. Or the 1800s, one or two, I don't know. A verb is a doing word. A verb is an action or a behavior. And these three verbs are threaded all the way through the Bible. And these three verbs really kind of summarize our key values. And there is a divine fragrance or a divine vibe that is unique to godly people who choose to believe God, who seek to increase in their walk with Jesus, and who decide to give freely. And we want that healthy and divine fragrance, that healthy and divine culture of heaven flowing within our church community here at Real Life Church. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to tag myself out and tag somebody else in. Far's going to flesh out what it means to believe.
Am I allowed to tackle him? Right. B is for believe. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to fight the good fight of true faith, holding tightly to eternal life which God has called us to. And at Real Life Church, we believe in fighting this good fight of faith by paying attention to what we believe. What you believe influences your character, and ultimately it influences your faith. And the enemy is at work, no doubt about that. He's at work to bring us down. He wants to see our downfall. He wants to destroy our faith. And so every believer has got to look at what they believe. Amen. I come from a culture that believes so much in African magic. We call it witchcraft. And it has left us believing in the unseen world. And we are left with so much doubt and so much fear. We are so afraid to succeed, because when you succeed, everyone thinks, where did you get the muti from, you know? And it's weird, but we believe in that, you know? At Real Life Church, our culture is committed to the inspired word of God. And I have deliberately taken time to evaluate my culture and ask myself, is it in the word of God at all? And perhaps you too have been crippled by some beliefs that have been influenced by the world in which you belong. You have to criticize every belief. Think through it and ask, is it in line with the word of God? We rely on the word of God in revealing the will of God for our lives, because it is necessary for our conduct and our faith. The word of God is the reality and revelation of God to us. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So we live a life free of fear, a life of authority over fear. Amen. We believe that God is the Father and creator of all things, seen and unseen. He created the universe, the earth, and everything in it. So He created you and I in His image, each with a purpose and an ability to accomplish big things. God has a great plan for each one of us, and we at Real Life Church encourage everyone to seek after the big things God has in store for you. Each one of us is God's masterpiece, carefully crafted to do the good things He has planned for us. God took time to create you. No doubt about that. He took time to create each one of us. And you know what? You are important to Him. We are confident that He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when we declare who we are and what we have in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And we can walk with confidence, knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? So as children of God, our hope is in Christ Jesus. When our hearts are overwhelmed, we return to our loving Father for restoration of hope, peace, and joy. You and I can only achieve what God has in store for us when we live a life filled with hope. When we believe that God is a God of hope, He fills us with all joy and peace because we trust Him. And then we will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's very own possession. And we have dominion over all things in this world. We have power given to us through the Holy Spirit to live a life of victory, a fulfilling life that honors Him, a life of purity. Amen. We strongly believe in the scripture Romans 10, 9 to 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So it is through salvation that we have been justified and adopted into the family of God and become a new creation in Christ Jesus, an heir of eternal life. We all require, all of us require spiritual transformation so that we have a relationship with God by faith. This means when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life will never be the same again. It will never be the same. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe in God who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. We have a God-given desire to serve others and share the love of Jesus Christ with the people around us. We believe, according to Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, we experience all blessings as we obey the Lord our God. The work of our hands is blessed. We are blessed in the city of Gosnells, blessed in the country of Australia. Our storehouses are blessed. All the people of this land see that we are called by the name of the Lord. The Lord opens his treasures to us. We will lend to many and not borrow. God blesses us and surrounds us with favor only when we believe this. Let your belief be based on the word of God, and you will be saved from the fear of unknown or negative thoughts. I was raised thinking I was a second class, less important, until I landed in Australia. And I thought to myself, hang on, we are all people. This is so funny. But for some unknown reason, I looked down on myself, and I thought I was not worthy. But you know what? You are God's child first before you have a name. You are God's child first before you are married. You are God's child first. And that is important. Believe, as a child of God, desire the big things he has planned for you. Walk in authority and dominion, in victory and power through the Holy Spirit. So we press on toward the goal of eternity. Amen. Amen. Now, Fritz is going to flesh out what it means to increase.
Well, our second value is increase. Be for believe. And I believe that should wash over us. And I for increase. Now, God is the giver of increase. And God has so much more for you. There are more breakthroughs, more encounters with the Holy Spirit, more fruitfulness, more healing, more provision. There's more peace, more joy, and more love to be had. More answers to prayer, more ground to be taken. And more victories in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pursue what God has in store for us. God's desire for all of us is increase and fruitfulness. And this is why Jesus said, when you bear much fruit, then you are my true disciples. Jesus is talking about fruit like love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. He's talking about fruit like praise and worship and prayer. He's talking about fruit like joyful generosity. Imagine our lives dripping with this fruit. Imagine the difference that it will make to our family, to our communities, to our church. Of course, we cannot bear this fruit without Christ. And that is why Christ said that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, my father, he used to work in an apple orchard, Coorong, in Jarrodale. And as a six-year-old, I would travel with him up there and spend days in the apple orchard. And when the season was correct, the men would go around and start grafting apple trees. And the objective to grafting is that you cut away a branch from an old, poor, slow root mass and you insert it into a more vibrant root mass. Effectively, that branch that is cut off is dead from its source. But when it is inserted skillfully into its new root mass, it blossoms and grows to its full potential. And this is what God does with us. He cuts us away from our dead life. And then he skillfully inserts us into the author of life, Christ. So stay connected to Jesus so that you can increase and be fruitful. You being connected to Jesus affects the vibe of our church. And it helps us all to be healthy and wholesome. I was once backslidden and far from God. And most of you know my story. I've told it here on stage, but this part of it you don't really know. I was 21 and I was working just down the road. In fact, I was the manager of Cash Converters in Gosnells. And it stood where the new McDonald's now stands. And to give you a perspective of my life at that time, I'd been massively let down by Christians. And I was all about blaming God. One lunch break, I was in the car park. And my car was pointed towards Pot Black and Gosnells. And I'm not sure what sparked the moment off. But again, I was giving it to God. And he was taking it. And near the end of this argument, one-sided, God clearly spoke into my head, in my voice, but it was God. And he said to me, how about I'll put you in a happy, clappy church just over there and you'll be satisfied. Well, I scoffed at God. Being in a Holy Spirit-filled church with happy, clappy people was the furthest thing from my mind. And for 22 years, I forgot that promise God made over my life. When I remembered, in a very profound moment, I realized I'd been coming to real life church where Pot Black used to be for more than a year. Christ has made me a new creation. His desire for me is increase. I'm now right with God. And I'm satisfied. Increase, all you happy clappies. Come on, just got a hand. God has given me increase. God has given you increase. And I know that there is more. There's always more. There's more encounters with the Holy Spirit. There's more breakthroughs. There's more fruitfulness. There's more healing. There's always more provision. There's more praising and worshiping. And there's even more life, eternal life. God's plan for all our lives is that we bear fruit. So, change the vibe of your life and pursue increase and fruitfulness. Your increase and fruitfulness will help to make real life church healthy and wholesome. B is for believe. I is for increase. And I'm going to hand it over to Dave. Come on, Pastor Dave. Gently.
Weren't they good? Yeah. Man, I feel really intimidated. I mean, they were just... That was great. That was such a blessing. The letter G represents the verb give. Threaded throughout the entire Bible is the overwhelming vibe of generosity. And that's because God is a super generous God. God gives and He 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 gives. God is your source and supply, not Scott Morrison. God is generous with His mercy. God is generous with His love. God is generous with His grace, and God is generous with His provision. God is never stingy. He is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He is a God of plenty. And God has been generous with you. And there is more for you. The Bible says in Romans 8, since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? And the answer is an emphatic yes. God will never stop giving. Therefore, in view of that, Jesus says to us today, freely you have received, freely give. Remember, it's a doing word. Freely you have received, freely give. And God calls us at Real Life Church to be a generous people who give. Because generosity is a part of the vibe and culture of heaven. And in a world where people are grasping for more, in a world where people are self-focused and self-obsessed, let us go counterculture to the world and let's be intentionally generous. Let's not be tight-fisted and stingy. Let's be the generous people of God. Let's give and give and give. Let's bring the generous vibe of the kingdom of heaven into our families, into our church, and into our community. And that's a good place to say amen. Interestingly, the Bible says the generous person will go without. This is the Bible. It says a generous person will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. This is a spiritual law, just like gravity is a physical law. This works. One of the most generous people I know is actually my wife, Rochelle. I know she really doesn't want me to say what I'm about to say. She'd rather have me insult her and pick on her and tease her. But I'm just going to I just want to highlight Rochelle. Over the years, there have been many moments. We've been married for over 36 years now. There's been many moments where I have thought, and seriously, Rochelle is incredibly generous. And she's taught me much about generosity. But sometimes I thought, Rochelle, you're going just too far. You know, you're just giving too much money. I mean, I could tell you stories. Where she gives money, she gives her time. You know, where are you? Where you been? Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. She cares for others. And she never lets up. It happens all the time. And sometimes I have to ask her, I say, could you just pull back a little bit? I have. I said, could you just pull back on getting involved with those people, please, please. But you know, she never listens to me. After 36 years, I don't even know why I bother asking. For example, we could be in a restaurant where, you know, we're just having a nice meal. But then Michelle will start to put food aside and she'll ask for a doggy bag because she remembers she saw a homeless person on the way to the restaurant and she wants to give them some food off her plate. I remember we did that in London, remember that? We were at that, Jared took us to this place with this big lumps of meat and big bones. And she saved so much of her meal. Had in a doggy bag, and she gave it to this guy who was just sitting on the sidewalk, and you should have seen his eyes just light right up to have this great meal. And that's what she does. Rochelle cannot walk past a person. She can't walk past a person who asks for help on the streets without giving them something. In fact, she budgets to give. She budgets. And like, and in some other countries, there's a lot of homeless people. I remember in the US, there was a lot of homeless people. So every day she would say, here's your money you're allowed to spend, and here's your money you've got to give away. She would say, you budget to give to homeless people. That's what you do. And she, so over the years, Rochelle's given so much of her money away, and I want to take a special offering today. No, just joking. Just joking. And the other thing is, she keeps giving my clothes away. And sometimes I see people in church walking around with my clothes. She's taught me a lot about giving right from the start. Right from the start when we first got married. Right from the start. Right from the start. And the truth is, giving is an effort. Of course it is. And giving does cost you time. And it's not just about money. By the way, everybody's got something to give. Everybody's got something. You know, make somebody a meal. Smile. A smile is a gift, you know. It costs your time. A conversation costs your time. Giving can be really inconvenient. And yes, you will be ripped off. We've been ripped off so many times. But giving is fun. I was just thinking actually in Melbourne when that lady ripped us off. We're on holidays. We're about to go with Ben into his church at Hillsong. You know, we're on our way at Christmas. Lady there told us a story. Michelle just opened up a wallet and most of it went. As we're walking away, I said, you know, that was a bunch of lies she just told us. Who cares? Whatever. She's blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. You do get ripped off. Of course you do. But giving is fun. Giving is fun. Giving is just liberating, particularly in our culture. Everybody's hold, 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 take, take, take. It's just liberating for your spirit. It's actually kind of fun to see who you can give something to today, particularly somebody who rubs you up the wrong way. Giving helps to slap. Mind you, if I give you something, it doesn't mean you rub me up the wrong way. I just want to qualify that. Giving helps to slap your fleshly selfish desires down. Giving is good for you, it's good for me. And Rochelle's taught me that. And I can honestly say, and I mean this so seriously, we never go without. Seriously, can't you tell? We never go without. We lack for nothing. We're on a pastor's income and our church takes care of us, but we've managed to pay off our house. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but just let you know, we've lacked for nothing. We're smart with our money. But giving doesn't mean you go without. You don't. We're comfortable and we have a really good life together. I love my wife. I think she loves me. And I think one of the successes to life is this, is that when you give to others, it brings life to you. It splashes on you. So I've learned from didn't Jesus say give? And it will be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. And yeah. And I've learned from Michelle that when you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed because it's a spiritual law that God has made. So what are we saying today? I'm just bringing this all home. Is I'm simply asking us all to be radically generous people. Come on, just be generous. I dare you to be generous. And when you're being generous, you're just being like God. So let's just give. Let's make that the vibe of our church when people come in. We've had people come in for our food parcels and everything, and we insist on giving stuff away because we want to be a generous church. You don't have to pay. We'll give it to you. Freely you've received, so freely give. And generosity will also help build real life church for us to have a healthy and wholesome culture and vibe among us here in our fellowship. Could you guys just come forward, please? Big? Yeah, thanks. Just Fritz and Far. Big is our buzzword, guys. It's a reminder that our church vibe is what we make it to be. So when we actively replace stinking thinking with the Word of God, we believe the Word of God. When we actively seek to increase our lives in the promises of God, take what God's given for us to increase in our walk with Jesus. And when we actively, intentionally plan to be generous, then we will create a culture and a vibe within our church community that is healthy and wholesome and pleasing to the Lord. And not just in our church community, but in our personal lives as well. So, Far and Fritz, let's get in order. You're B-I-G. Could you pray? We're going to pray. How about everybody stands to the feet? I want you to pray over the faith of our church. Increase, and I'll pray for giving. Come on, let's pray.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you gave your only son to die on the cross for us so that we can have freedom. And we believe in this word, and we believe in the promises that you have in store for us. We thank you, Almighty God, and we believe that you, Almighty God, have taken time to create each and every one of us with a purpose. And so, Father, we believe in that purpose, the purpose that you have for each and every one of us to do big things on this earth. Yes. And we believe, Almighty God, that you are with us, that you surround us. You fill us with your love. You fill us, Almighty God, with your Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish this purpose. Equip us, Almighty God. Equip us with your word that we can trust in you, that we can stand firm on the foundation of our faith, Lord. That is all we have. That is the confidence that we have, God, and we believe in it. Today we make that choice to believe in your word so that we can be saved. And today we leave this place actively confessing our faith, actively confessing that which we believe, that we are blessed, we are not cursed, we are above always and never beneath, that the work of our hands are blessed, that Father God, we are your children, a royal priesthood, and everyone who sees us, Father God, will see the testimony of our lives that indeed there is a mighty God who loves us. Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, you are the God of increase. Water you turned into wine. Bread and fish you fed the thousands. You made the blind to see. You made the deaf to hear. You supply the daffodils of the field, everything they need. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea. You, O Lord, are the God of increase. And so we bless the source of our increase.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that your face shine upon us all the days of our lives here, that increase will flow from you, the source, over us. We pray for fruit, Lord. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. Lord, we pray for all this fruit over us, Lord. And we ask that you graft us deep into the vine, Lord.
Yes.
That you skillfully insert us into Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So that our vine may produce blossoms of fruit, Lord, that it may drip off us.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, come.
Yes.
God of the increase, come and bless us. For we know that we are favored sons and daughters of the King.
Amen.
And He will never forsake us.
Yes.
He will never leave us.
Amen.
And so we believe in our God.
Yes.
We believe in our Creator, the God of increase.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. And we bless your holy Amen. Name. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And Father, we just pray. Lord, make us generous, Lord. In fact, Lord, we choose to be generous. Father, we thank you that you're a generous God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given so much to us. And Lord, we want to be like you. And we just pray for a wave of generosity to flow over our congregation and to flow out from us. We pray that people in our community, people far and wide, will know that we're a generous people. We just pray, Lord, you'll anoint, Lord, the things that we share with others. Lord, we want to take Christ to people. We want to be a blessing to people. We've received so much from you. And out of that reservoir of treasure that we've received from you, we want to be a blessing to others. We pray, Lord, that the vibe of Real Life Church will be that we'll be a people who believe the Word of God. We will be a people who are increasing in you, increasing our walk with Jesus, and, Lord, a people who are generous. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. And they shouted, Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how about just going along with me right now and say to somebody, you look bigger than the last time I saw you.